I didn't want to stop you if you wasn't done. Keep on going. Got my friend here with me. You probably recognize I'm not Chris Steinbrecher. It's good to be back. Good to see y'all. It's good to be seen by you. You know, Jesus told us, he said, first thing we need to do is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Second thing we need to do is love one another. So I'm going to take a moment to let you love one another. Stand up, say hello to your neighbor. This is the first Sunday of January. Yes. No kissing. Keep the holy kissing down, okay? Because the Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. It didn't mean what some of you think. Okay, so just a good handshake, a hug would be good, but just, now you can kiss your husband if you want.
Good to see you.
Okay. I thank you for that. Hello.
Okay, that's enough. Sit down.
He's afraid we're going to get into his preaching time. Okay, thank you so much. I figured most of you had needed that since you hadn't seen each other since last year. Okay, bad jokes. That means I'm back. But there's some announcements I would like to make. One is it's taking me by surprise. I guess it's a fun thing to do. It's a tasty thing to do. It's our chili cook-off. So don't forget that. If you want to be a part of that, if you want to be a contestant to enter a chili, you sign up, you enter your chili, and you bring enough for people to take a sample of, and then people go back and get more later. So you just need enough for everybody to get some sample and some left over. There's chili, and then there's pie contest. You can enter one, both, or all. The pie contest is two parts. One is for like fruit pies and those sorts of pies, and the other is for like cream pies. Because there's so much difference in them, it's hard to judge one against the other, I think. So besides that, you get more pies that way. So cream pies, fruit pies, and those types of pies, and then the chili. That will be the 20th of January, which is Saturday after this one, right? Well, it's on your bulletin. You can look at the calendar. And anyway, at 6 p.m., and we'll have a good time that evening doing that. Also, if you want to bring in project or things for Project Philippians 2, the homeless project, there's a list in your bulletin reminding you what sorts of things they're looking for. Those are due by January 21st so that we can get them together and they can get out to the streets in time to help the homeless during these cold winter months. And we appreciate you participating in that. I said, that's one thing about this church. We've always been missions and giving-oriented. And that's just a blessing the Lord's given us to do, is to help those that are in need. And so we try to fulfill that mission every chance and every way we can. And it's just another way of doing that. And you people have been so generous in doing that, that God is he certainly thinks, I believe he blesses his church for how we try to bless one another. And then the pastor, for those who are interested in membership, becoming a member, being a member, you're certainly welcome here at any time. If you're a member or not, you're a part of our family, whether you're a member or not. But there are certain things that membership brings, is like voting rights and things of that nature. And so if you'd like to be a member of the church, see Pastor Bob next week in his office next Sunday at 9:30 in the morning. Okay? So that's before service. Have a meeting with him so he can go over those things about I don't know what he's going to do in there, but he has a membership program that will be that 9:30 next Sunday morning. Other than that, is there anything else I need to say? I certainly do appreciate all the prayers and the cards and the gifts that come our way this time. It's certainly been appreciated. It brings a good thought to you when you're not feeling well, but somebody cares about you. We know our Heavenly Father cares, but it's good to know others care too. And so we appreciate that so much. So we would enjoy the service, serving the Lord together, and have a great service today. God bless you.
After all that fellowship, I was ready for the dinner, and it was not happening. It made you sit back down. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it, with God's people? And let's stand and sing, shall we? Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Holy, holy, holy.
Let's read together, shall we? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains from off his hands. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood,
His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set. But my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever. You are forever mine.
Father, we are your children because you've reached down and drew us to you through your love. We thank you for what you're going to do today. Lord, we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Trying something new here. We had to get a whole new mic system. I didn't know if you knew or not, but ours was illegal, we found out. The FCC or whatever they're called sold the frequencies, I guess, in 2010, and then by 2020 you're supposed to have been compliant. So we didn't know that. My son-in-law was asking me, what frequency are your wireless mics? And I'm like, I don't know, let's check them. Checked them, and everything in the system was illegal. So we got all new mics and all that stuff that we had to switch over to, and we're not allowed to give them to anybody else, like another church or anything, because they're not allowed to be used in the U.S. So now we need to either ship them overseas or whatever we can do with that, because we're not, unless they want to change the chips, which they said may cost like $400 a piece to do, which wasn't worth it. So we're trying different things, see if they work. I think they sound okay this morning, so they seem to work fine. So now we have a new system. Didn't plan on it, but we have it. So that's new for this year. So we got it this year. Last year, a few days ago, of course, my son got in an accident. You probably saw the email. They were driving down Sunbury Road, and another car was coming the other direction. They both had green lights, and this guy turned left in front of them, hit their car, and as they were flying off the road, my son turned the wheel, missed two telephone poles, and ended up underneath a guy wire. So they jumped a ditch, and they took him to the hospital, OSU, and checked him out, and they were okay. And they went on a trip to New York, but we're still waiting to find out what they're going to get for their van, because the van was totaled. It used to be Verna's little baby van. She loved it. He no longer exists, so going to get something else. So that was an answer to prayer, that he was able to turn that wheel. His wife said if he hadn't turned the wheel, they would hit the telephone pole, and it would have been a lot worse accident. But the airbags popped out and everything, and my grandson's like, Dad, we got to get out. There's a fire in here. It's on fire. And it was just the dust from the airbags or whatever happened. So So that was a blessing that they weren't badly hurt, some little bruises, but that was it. So that was a good thing that happened, but that was last year. So now we're on this year looking for another better year. So
sturdy van.
So pray for Everett this morning. He's in Dublin Hospital. He passed out and fell on a glass table, I guess he said, and hurt his arm. So they're not sure what's happening with him in that case. So pray for him this morning. That's going on. We have a lot of other ones that are having different things happening. I know there's been several procedures that have happened this week, and Pam and Sam are on vacation. So pray for them. They have good weather. That they have a fun time. Can't think of this. We have Roxanne's home now. And they couldn't do the shocking, what do they call it, ablation, because they thought she had a blood clot. They're not sure it's a blood clot now, but she's taking medication to get her heartbeat back in rhythm. And so Brian is there with her, trying to make sure she's okay, but she's home. So she was there for a few days. Bob Harder, don't forget about him. He's still in there, going to have a meeting, I think, this week, Randy said, to decide what the next step is for him. So he's going to go home or go to a different place or whatever. I don't know what's happening. So anybody else have anything you want to share? Prayer request or praise? Randy has a stress test this week. If you saw the Facebook, you got to see this finger. It said graphic display. If you want to look at this message, you had to click on it to be able to see this cut. I mean, it didn't make you sick or anything.
I would like to thank God. Caleb is recovering well. He actually outshined the doctor. The doctor said he'd be in a recliner for 6 to 8 weeks, and he is now in a bed after 3 weeks. So praise the Lord, and he's continuing to heal. It's a long process, 6 months recovery. So he's home from school for 2 months, and then he starts half days on his third month. So, yeah, he did start his tutoring, and that's going well. So the tutor will see him twice a week. So we will go from there, keep continuing to pray that he keeps getting stronger every day. Thanks.
So God brings interesting things to my mind, and I hope that you all listen when he speaks to you. This morning as I was in the shower, he reminded me of how blessed I am to be in this country, in this state, in this county, in this town, and in this fellowship. We have a really blessed little church here. The Holy Spirit is in this place, in our hearts, and we need to not take that for granted. You know, we are not just entitled to this except through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is a wonderful Lord.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for allowing us to be here this morning, for making the weather so it wasn't bad for us like we remember last Christmas when we had level 2 emergency and we couldn't get in, but now we're here this morning and we just thank you for that. Thank you for the new year. Some people see it as a new beginning with their faith, a deeper commitment to you, so we just pray for that to happen. Pray for those like Caleb and others who have had surgery or are facing surgery, had procedures or are going to have procedures, those who are not feeling well. Think of those who are in the hospital, and we just pray to be with each and every one of those who may be homebound and can't get out. Pray for them as well, and those who may have to work today, just keep them safe. So we just pray for the service this morning, Lord, for your word to guide and direct us. We just pray for the music, Lord, to soothe us and inspire us, and we just ask you to be with us this morning. Touch us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we may come in different than when we may leave different than when we came in. In your name, amen.
I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out and paid a debt I could not pay. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. Still I live in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan. Soon I'll join the robed in white, the redeemed. We'll sing a song a holy angels cannot sing. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. Some glorious morning, they will come from all nations, from every generation. Side by side, they will march into the celestial city of Jehovah. And in perfect harmony, they will begin humming a new song, a song composed by God, arranged for His children. As the saved by grace approach the land of their dreams, the host of heaven will step aside. Even the angels will be silent, for they cannot sing this new song. But it is a song reserved for voices who once cried out for the Redeemer. Those washed in the blood of the Lamb, yes, these are the redeemed. I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, He's mine. I now resign. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free.
Thanks, Dave. Well, the question this morning is food important? To some people more so than others, right? It seems like every time you turn on TV today, there's some kind of a cooking show, isn't there? You got Master Chef, you got Chopping Block, Top Chef, I don't know, there's all kinds of them, but it seems like everybody and their brother is a chef nowadays, right? Even little kids are cooking things and making these meals, and you're like, what in the world is that? You see that on there. They come up with things I haven't heard of, like pistachio and coffee, cardamom and chocolate, creme brochet, and other fairy tale foods. But whatever name you give it, it's still food, right? Doesn't mean that I'm going to eat it, though. Looks can be deceiving sometimes. Something looks really good, and then you taste it, it's horrible. Or it looks horrible, and it tastes good. So it depends on what you're getting, though. But they bring the food enough to feed a small child that costs you a fortune, right? And then you go to a fancy restaurant, but just because it costs a lot doesn't mean that it's good or it's something you're going to like either. I don't know if you had that experience where you go to a restaurant and they bring you the meal and you're like, where's the rest of it? The bill doesn't show that. The bill shows you pay for the whole plate, but you got a half a plate or a quarter plate, whatever it was. But there is some food that's good for us and some food that's bad for us. We need to decide we're going to put it to our bodies, right? I'm not knocking McDonald's. I go there too occasionally, but it can't be your everyday meal. Some of it's not even real food. Some of it's just made up food. We need to be wise about what we eat. The average American eats almost 2,000 pounds of food every year. Did you know that? 2,000 pounds, that's a ton. And some people eat as much as 5.5 pounds of food a day. I don't know how you do that either. We've all heard the phrase about junk food, that food that you eat that has no nutrition, just a lot of fat and sugar and salt, which we usually get too much of anyway, but junk food's cheap, isn't it? You make it cheap so you can buy it, so you can afford it. If you want to get something that's supposed to be organic, you pay 3 times the price for what it is. As I see all these apartment buildings going up around us, it makes me wonder what's going to happen. We see all these farm fields being sold and sold and sold. You know, are they going to use different genes now to make our food multiply more and more and more? A couple times I've seen on the internet, they talk about food from the 1950s and then food of today. And they showed a chicken on there. Chicken was this big in 1950 and it's this big today. Because of genetics and whatever they're doing and feeding it. And I wonder if that's part of the problem with the sicknesses that we get today. All these cancers that we're getting from all these fake things they're putting in the food. But, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? According to Christy Bissett, a nutritionist, at least 80% of our diet should consist of healthy, nutritious foods like fruits and vegetables and legumes and fish and nuts and seeds and whole grains. And she said, I think we should also be eating meats, fish, and chicken. If we do this, we can afford to have 20% of our diet be cheat foods or foods that may not be as healthy. So you can cheat 20% of the time, but 80% of the time you need to be within a healthy food range. But eating the wrong food can lead to obesity, a higher risk of a metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and death from coronary heart disease. Did you ever go to one of those Lifeline screening things? Anybody ever been to one of those? I went to one of those. They had it over at the golf course over there in Galloway, the golf course over there. And they do all these little ultrasound scans on you, whatever, and you get checked out. They tell you if you have any problems before they exist. So I was talking to somebody. They said, well, that's cheaper than going to the doctor. It was like $100 or $175, whatever it was. They do all these scans and give you results and tell you if you have any problems lurking in there you may not be aware of. But getting those kind of checkups are important as well, aren't they, for us? We don't always talk about our health. Sometimes we don't worry about health until we're sick. But there's things we can do to prevent that and help us to be in better health. But eating the wrong things can be a big issue. It can also lead to depression. Some people eat when they're happy. Some people eat when they're sad. Some people eat just because they want to eat, right? We need to make sure we control our portions of what we eat. Eat small bits. I'm not a dietitian, so I'm just telling you information here. You can take or leave it. Well, the Bible tells us not to be a glutton. That means don't just stuff yourself. You ever go to some of these restaurants, country buffet? You ever watch some of those plates that go by? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're heaped up. And then I eat my plate, and I say, I might go get a little slice of pie or something like that. I look and the same person's like got another plate. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? That's up to them. But I think sometimes we do stuff to our bodies we don't need to do. I mean, I drink Pepsi. I probably shouldn't drink Pepsi. I should be drinking more water. I justify by saying, well, there's water in there. But that's not necessarily true. So even if there's things like that that you enjoy, you can cut those down and don't have like 5 Pepsis a day. Have one. Maybe one every 2 days, whatever. Kathy, quit nodding your head. Oh. You put more ice in there. More ice. The Bible talks about eating in several different places. If you look in Daniel chapter 1, it's a passage that we often misunderstand or misrepresent. So Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles of the temple. These he carried off of the temple of his god in Babylonia, and he put the treasures in the houses of his god. So Nebuchadnezzar was conquering Judah. He took the articles of God's temple and put them in the Babylonian's temple, and the god was Marduk, also called Bel or Lord. He's said to be the god of thunderstorms. So this is what they're worshiping. So in essence, he took God's articles and put them into a false god, God's place. So can you imagine that? How would the Lord, you think, feel about that? Talks about casting pearls before swine. So then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into his king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude of every kind, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. So why did he do this? He wanted to take their best people and transfer them to his people so they would learn his ways and be just like them, and then he could use them against the people that were there. He was hoping to have them forget everything they knew and then convert them to pagan ways, and then he could succeed in conquering the rest of the people. Here's where it gets interesting. He talks about food. He said, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So he was going to give them the best of everything, the best food, the best drink, the best training, whatever you could get. He was going to give them those kind of things, maybe in abundance, trying to sway them. Fruits, vegetables, meat, wine, bread, whatever it could be. But he wanted to have them be well fed according to his standards. He said, among those chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. Daniel, he called Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So according to GotQuestions.org, these four boys may have been around 14 years old. Probably a pretty traumatic experience, wouldn't it be? It'd take your family and separate you and put you with the king's people. Each one of them had names that had faith in God. But upon their arrival, they changed their names to represent that system. It was a way of encouraging them to forget their homeland, to forget who they were, forget the background, to make them assimilate, right? To be like that organization or society or whatever it may be. And the Bible tells us not to conform to the pattern of the world. But changing their name was one step towards that goal. What are we seeing in society? We're changing all kinds of definitions, aren't we? What is marriage? What's a man? What's a woman? All those kind of things. We're changing the definitions of those words to try to get us to assimilate into what some people want us to do or to believe. Oh, this is okay. That's okay. This is okay. Because we just changed the name. It doesn't mean the same thing anymore. So if you can change what the meaning is, you change a whole idea, a whole thought, don't you, about what things were. When you said gay years ago, it meant you were happy, right? There's a lot of words I could say that wouldn't be probably appropriate now that didn't mean anything then, but now they've been changed to mean something else. They don't mean the same thing. So you change the vocabulary to get people to think a different way, that something's bad. So the word Abednego means servant of Nebo. Belshazzar means Bel protects his life, and so on. So there was pressure on them to conform, not only by what they're eating, but by their name in itself. So here's what it says next. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. That was a new thing too. The official's in charge of him. If something happens to Daniel, it's not right, the official's going to get blamed for it. But he's asking for permission not to have to eat the king's food. And the guy's thinking, are you nuts? I wouldn't mind eating that food. This is probably the best you're going to get. And he says, no, we don't want to eat that food. That's when he says, I'm afraid, my lord, the king, who assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would have my head because of it. And Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance to that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So we agreed to this test for 10 days. So they're not going to eat the meat and everything else that the other guys are getting. They're just going to eat fruits and vegetables. So why would Daniel do something like that? Here's the reason he probably did. Because that food is probably worshipped or blessed by pagan gods before they got it. So it was some food that their gods had, supposedly they had sacrificed to their gods, and then they were going to eat this kind of food. And they're saying, we're not going to eat that stuff. So we think in some ways, oh, we have to eat vegetables because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We just eat vegetables and drink water. But Leviticus 11 talks about clean and unclean. There are plenty of clean meats that we can eat. And Genesis 9 talks about every living thing being meat for them. So I have a hard time thinking God's telling us to be vegetarians. He's just saying don't eat food that's been sacrificed to idols. Some people have the idea that it was because the Babylonians ate pork. But that doesn't explain why they eat the rest of the food. So here's what I've read and I believe. Earlier, the Babylonians believed in false gods like Belen or Marduk or Maduk. So they most likely offer their food to the gods, pray to the Lord before they eat to the false god, dedicate the meat to him or the wine or whatever it is. And if Daniel would have eaten that food dedicated to idols, he would have defiled himself before the Lord. So I thought that was interesting to find out. That's probably one reason they wouldn't eat it. Not because they didn't like the food or didn't want it, but they wanted to stay true to the Lord and their faith and their teachings. And as a result, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better and nourished than any other young men who ate the royal food. Were they healthier because they ate fruits and vegetables? They were healthier because they did what they did to honor God. And he used the fruits and vegetables to make them healthy. Didn't mean that meat was going to make them sick or weak or anything else. But because they didn't eat the food sacrificed to false gods, God blessed them. And then you hear that phrase, garbage in, garbage out. If you eat junk food, you're not going to function as much as you should properly. You can eat 20% junk food, though. And the rest needs to be healthy food. You don't have to eat it. You can. You choose what you eat. We choose the things that we do. So good food leads to good health, energy, and a strong body. And he wants us to be healthy as much as we can. Exercise doesn't hurt either. That may be just walking around the room. My mom used to just walk to the kitchen and back, and the kitchen and back, because she couldn't get outside. Anytime you can get up and exercise your muscles is good. Maybe you just do stretching. Maybe you do, there's a thing now on there, if you've seen it now, it's a chair exercise. Right? You can get in shape by exercising with a chair. You do push-ups and raise your legs and all kinds of stuff, so you don't have to go anywhere or do any of that kind of stuff. You have to keep moving and using your muscles. But I think the idea of consuming or eating goes way deeper than food. I think we can consume with our eyes. Right? You take things in with your eyes, your body consumes that, or it goes into your mind. It stirs up your appetite. The Bible says the eyes are a lamp to the body, a lamp to the spirit within us. Matthew 6 says the eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, spiritually perspective, your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. But if your eye is bad or spiritually blinded, your whole body will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. So if the very light inside you, your inner self, your heart, your conscience is dark, how great and terrible will that darkness be? What we take in with our eyes affects us. When I was a kid, I used to go into the store and all the magazines were covered over, weren't they? The bad magazines, I'm saying. Today, nope, they're out there. You don't have to look anywhere to find a magazine with a bad cover. It can be Time magazine nowadays. It can be any kind of magazine, car magazine. There's all kinds of stuff. But it didn't used to be that way. None of the bad shows used to come on until after 11 o'clock. And by bad, maybe meant some cussing or something. Today, they're on all day long. Right? You see signs. You see all kinds of images. You see stuff on your computer, your phone, everything like that comes into your mind and can give you images or ideas you didn't have before. All these video games where people are playing and people are shooting each other now because it's a video game to them. It's not real. The media uses images and advertisements all the time. We're bombarded with images that stir up ideas to think a certain way or do something. Think about the grocery store. They put things in front of us like donuts, right? Buy one, get one free. Well, gee, why wouldn't I buy one? I'm getting one free. They put things on sale. They put products right at eye level for the kids, where kids can see them. So they, Mom, I want to have this. If it was higher, the kids couldn't see it, right? But everything at that level and everything by the checkout line is all that kind of stuff. Candy bars and gum and little gadgets you need and whatever it is, they put them all there. We see images and signs that attract our attention, but men are especially targeted by those things. Images on commercials, all kinds of things are geared for men. Kids are bombarded with images of action figures and dolls having great adventures. But here's the thing, action figures can't move. But how many kids think when they see these things where action figures are walking around, they're going to get this action figure and it's going to move and walk around and have all these adventures when it doesn't? And action figures, I think, are great because it makes us use our imagination. It's not a video game. It's not something you have to play. It's something you have to think about. My little grandson plays by himself a lot, and he's like, using his imagination, right? A lot of times now, you don't have to use your imagination. Everything is given to you. You don't need to think about things. You can't even hardly give change at a restaurant unless they have the computer on. You ever go through a drive-thru and they can't figure out the change? Because our thing's down. So you give them a quarter. Well, I can't take that quarter because it's too much. Yeah, that's because I want a dollar back. I don't want all the change. We need to stop some of those things before they go into our eyes because we're consuming with our eyes. You can have a glance, but don't have a stare. Right? Don't be consumed by it. Let me share another way I think we can eat. I think we can eat through our ears too. Things we hear that go into our mind. You ever listen to some of the rap music? I go click and I turn it off. It's not usually anything good. Something vulgar, something about women, something about police, something about violence, something about society. There may be some good out there. I don't listen to it enough to know what it is, but there may be some good. Country music has some of the same things, right? Somebody's wife left them or this girlfriend or something, and I like country music a lot of times, but some of that stuff you don't listen to. Christian music has good things to it, so you need to make sure you see what you're listening to or who you're talking to. Remember that Oscar Mayer Wiener? How many can still sing that song today? Oh, I wish I were, right? That is in your mind. That was programmed in your head. Who cares about an Oscar Mayer Wiener? Who wants to sing about the song? But yet it's in your mind because it was programmed day after day after day. Those kind of things that go into our head. And we're like, can you just please stop, turn this thing off? Or you find yourself humming some kind of song throughout the day. You're like, where did that come from? Because you stored it in your brain somewhere. So we're consuming that with our mind. If you hang around people who cuss all the time, what do you think is going to happen to your mind? Ever happened to you? Smack your finger and you see, where did that word come from? Right? It can happen. We need to watch how we're consuming it. But there are times when food, as we know it, is not what we need. Before this passage in John chapter 4, Jesus goes to the woman at the well and asks her for some water. And she says, why are you talking to me? And the whole story goes through. And then he says, I can give you water you're never going to thirst for again. Then he tells her about her life, you know. She's had five husbands. The one she's living with now is not her husband and whatever. So she goes to get some people to say, hey, come hear this man who's told me things that no one else knows. So this is where we pick this up at. So just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? And then leaving her water jug, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come and see a man who's told me everything I've done. Could this be the Messiah? Because he tells her before this, she said, the Messiah is going to come and make it clear. And he says, I'm the Messiah. So he tells her point blank, I'm him. I'm the guy you're looking for. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So they're thinking, huh, did you have a snack or something? Did you have stuff hidden away? Because they say, could someone have brought him food? And then he says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So they're thinking of physical food, you need to eat, and he's saying, I've already got my food. My food is doing what God wants me to do. One of the commentaries said, Christ expressed the delight which he himself had in his work. His work was to seek and save the lost, to go about doing good. And now with this work, we find him wholly taken up. That means his mind was totally on what his mission was, to talk to this woman, to share with her, to let her know about God, living water, salvation. Food didn't matter at that point. He wasn't worried about, oh, what am I going to eat for lunch? He's like, this is fulfilling me right here with what I'm doing. He even neglected his meat and drink for his work. He sat down at the well, and he was tired, and he needed refreshment. But the opportunity to save a hungry soul was more important than his food. And they said to him, you've got to eat, because they loved him. They wanted to be fed, but he didn't think about eating. But their mind was in a different realm. Their mind was physical food. His was spiritual. So we can eat spiritually as well when we read God's word, when we pray, when we talk with him. When you listen to programs, like you should listen to our music or whatever it may be. But they couldn't imagine that he had any plans or desire to plant the gospel among Samaritans. Why would he want to do that? We don't associate with those kind of people. But his plan was while he was there, he was going to share. My wife was talking about this the other day. She said every opportunity you're with somebody, even doing a job, should be an opportunity to share with somebody. Can I pray with you? Can I help you? Is there something that you need? But the disciples weren't thinking about that. They were thinking about their stomach. He was thinking about their soul. When we have the chili cook-off, we're eating physical food, but that means you can invite somebody else to come and say, this is what church is like. It's not maybe not like what you heard, maybe like, not like what you've been experienced before. People get hurt by the church and say they're all like that, which is not true. I'm never going to church again because they said this or did this. That's not what church is always like. You have people that do bad things or don't represent Christ. That's not what everybody is. We're not all need to be judged that way. Jesus said his work was his meat and was his drink. And that was his Father's will. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And we know that salvation of sinners is the will of God. He wants people to know him and be saved, doesn't he? And our job is to introduce him, make the introduction, and God does the rest. And sometimes we're called to disciple those people, to keep talking to them, to help them learn and grow. And other times that may be a one-time encounter, when you may just say something to them and they're going to see that or know that. So when his body needed food, his mind was so taken up with the thought of sharing that he wasn't hungry anymore, as far as that's concerned. So the question is, what are you eating today? Is it a diet that's pleasing to the Lord, or is it making him sick? Is it making you sick? The things you're consuming are not good for you or the Lord, then maybe it's time to change and eat something else, whether it's with your eyes, your ears, or your mouth, or your spirit. And ask the Lord to help you eat healthy, and then do what you're supposed to do. Isn't that the hardest part? You know what you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. See that big, humongous piece of cake there? You're like, man, I could eat the whole thing. When you could probably cut it in half and say, I'll have half now, and maybe a day or so I'll have the other half, right? We can say no to ourselves, can't we? No, we say it to our kids all the time. No. You look in the mirror and say, no, you're not going to do that today. Yes, you will eat this. My wife's thinking right now, I'm going to say it to you with vegetables. I eat corn, potatoes, you know, that the basic stuff, broccoli, just don't eat asparagus and some of the other stuff that's probably accidentally made or something. I don't know what it is, but. So let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning, helping us know that there is food other than the stuff we eat with our mouth. We need to be aware of what we're eating and how we're eating it, what portions we're using and what we're doing with our lives. Help us to be witnesses for you in all that we say and do, that we can give other people the bread of life that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I give all my service to you. I give all my service to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my service to you. I give all my future to you. I give all my future to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my future to you. I give all my worship to you. I give all my worship to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my worship to you.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, you demand everything from us. You've given everything on our behalf. And you want us to live our lives in the light of the Holy Word and your commandments and what you've called us to do. Help us to be careful, as Pastor said, what we take in, what we digest, what we put in our minds. Help us to guard our minds and our hearts. We give everything to you today in Jesus' name.